One already on the phone right now is one of my favorite interviews every year, the one and only Jack Carr. His new James Reese book, Only the Dead, comes out on May 16th. Hey, Jack, how are you?
I am doing just great. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a banner year for you. Not only do we have the new book out now, The Terminalist was a huge success with Chris Pratt. It got another season added. You got a spinoff series with the character from Taylor Kitsch. What do you know about these two new series? Have they even started filming yet? Has the writer's strike postponed anything? What do you know?
Well, we're working on the scripts. So we were until about 5 days ago when the writer's strike hit. And then it's pencils down on those. But we're a few scripts in. It's all outlined. And I'm excited about it. It is I'd say it's a international espionage thriller rather than The Terminalist, which was a revenge thriller, action thriller, conspiracy thriller. And Taylor Kitsch just brought so much to that role. I think the character was more fully developed on the screen with what Taylor brought to it than it was in my first novel. And it just made sense to do a spinoff and show how that character went from the SEAL teams to the CIA and how he turned bad, that sort of a thing. So that's the spinoff. And then we're supposed to roll right from that into writing and then filming the second season in Terminalist series, which is based on my second novel, True Believer. So all that's in the works, but for right now, it's on hold for the writer's strike.
Yeah, True
Believer. As soon as we pick those pencils back up, we'll get back at it.
True Believer was, I didn't read The Terminalist, but I started with True Believer. And if I remember correctly, your awesome publicist, David Brown, I always have to work his name in. When I wrote the review, I remember him emailing me saying, can you take out this thing in here that you put in the review? Because that's a spoiler and we don't want to spoil it from the first book. Because I hadn't read the first book. So
Nice. And yes, David Brown is amazing. I'm so lucky that we partnered up early on. What a great guy.
Yeah, ever since then, me and him too. He's been awesome. But so I want to ask you, the character of James Reese, does he have characteristics of Jack Carr in him? And the reason I ask is I have a twofold question coming up about that.
Well, he's a former enlisted SEAL sniper, which I was. He became an officer along the way, which I did. And the readers meet him in the first novel as a troop commander in Afghanistan. And I became a troop commander as well. My troop commander tour was to Iraq. But that's where really the similarities end. And he's a much better shot than I am, much faster, much stronger, much better at Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So there are things in my past that I can reach back to. But more so, those are the feelings and emotions behind certain events I was involved with downrange. So if James Reese is ambushed in Los Angeles, California, I just think back to what it was like to be ambushed in Baghdad in 2006. And I take those feelings and emotions and I apply them directly to a fictional narrative. So for the reader, if it reads true, if it reads like those emotions are real, that's because they're coming from a real place.
Only the Dead, by the way, is in stores on May 16th. And the reason I asked that question, because in this book, James, this may have been in past books, but he hates mayonnaise. Do you not like mayonnaise?
Oh my gosh, I hate mayonnaise. Mayonnaise and sour cream, just disgusting. Yes.
Ugh, really?
That's gross.
Oh. I don't mind mayo. It's the Miracle Whip I don't like.
Yeah. Anything kind of in that general area of condiments is just gross.
Yeah. The other question I have is, in this book, a very tiny spoiler, James Reese is naked a lot. Is Jack Carr a closet nudist?
That is the first time I've been asked that one. And no, so it is a tiny bit of a spoiler, but that comes in very early on in the book where he is locked up in solitary confinement. And that comes down to stripping someone, not just of their clothing, but essentially of their identity and putting them into a cave to eventually reemerge and get after it and find out who put him in there and then go start knocking people off that list.
No spoiler, but there's also a scene later in the book. It's an awesome fight scene at a certain locale, which requires a little bit of nakedness as well. But you'll have to read the book to find out that scene.
That's right. You got to read the book there. You got to read the book on that one.
I'm going to let you kind of give the plot just because you've been, you wrote it. And I don't want to give spoilers. So do you want to kind of say where Jack is from, where James is from the last book and kind of go from there, what you want to give out as far as information?
Yes, So each novel has had a theme that's guided the writing process, and I find that's been extremely helpful to keep things on track. And when I sent that first one to Simon & Schuster, I thought there might be a ton of content edits that would come back, but really there was hardly any, and it's been that way with all of the books. And I think that's because I have that theme. So that first one was really revenge without constraint. The second one was a story of violent redemption. So each one has had this theme where everything has to tie back either directly or, more importantly, indirectly to that theme. So for this one, it's truth and consequences. And we go back in history to really back to Vietnam and into the 70s and into the 80s, because Vietnam was really a time when we saw a loss of accountability across senior level leadership, and we hadn't really had that before. It took Lincoln general after general after general until he got to Grant. George Marshall in World War II fired general and admiral after general and admiral until he got to those people whose names we all know today as leading us to victory in World War II. And then after that, something changed, and the military became more of an industry and career path rather than a profession. So this is all about truth and consequences. And there have been a few things in the past novels, because I don't want to give too much away, that I've been setting up, that I've been leaving out there, and most all of those come to a final resolution at the end of this book. So I don't want to give Jen. I've left a few. I've been leaving a little trail of breadcrumbs on something very specific about a post office box that was left behind by Jim Treese's father. And I've been leading people to believe that there's a certain thing in there, but I would be shocked if they were to actually guess without reading the book what's in that box. And that is revealed in the pages of this novel.
And there's also another plot point where the Russians are up to something big. And if they succeed in their new plan, it could mean World War III or beyond. So that's another thing that has to be dealt with in this book, and as well as James's personal life. And, you know, by the time I finished this, Jack, it felt like the closing chapter of everything you've written before. To me, it almost felt like, I know it's not, but it felt like this was the finale of the series, but it's just the finale of the story that you kind of just teased a minute ago.
It is, and the last one I left on more of a cliffhanger, and that's the art part of it, is figuring out how to give enough resolution to the reader that makes them, that they're, whether they're satisfied with all the time that they've put in, because people are trusting me with time that they're never going to get back. So for me, all my heart and soul goes to every single sentence in this. The last one left off on a little more of a cliffhanger, so there was not really a question as to where it was going to go next. This one, this conclusion, it could go a few different ways in the next novel. So you got to kind of do it a little bit differently every time, I think, so you don't fall into any sort of a pattern, which is the fun part of it. It's fun part solving problems creatively and, in my case, very aggressively.
People can follow you with official Jack Carr, your website, Jack Carr USA Facebook, Jack Carr USA Instagram, Jack Carr USA Twitter. You're going out on tour starting this Sunday. We're recording this on May 11th. So if you hear this, you're going to be in Arizona. You're coming to Austin and then Dallas. You're going to, next Tuesday for the release date, you're going to be at the Half Price Books, which is about 45 minutes from where I live. And then,
nice.
Yeah, then you're going to Houston, and you're doing a bunch of other stuff. It's not a long tour, but it's a good amount of dates. It has you out for like a couple of weeks.
Yep, has a couple of weeks out there, and then about a week and a half on the road, then another date there in early June on the East Coast, and that's because my daughter's graduating from high school, so we kind of, this tour butted up right against that, so I'll be back to make sure I'm there to see her graduate from high school.
You have three children. Is that the youngest one, or is that?
That's the oldest.
That's the oldest.
So 17, 15, and 12.
And has she made college plans yet? Did she send any stuff out? Did she get accepted anywhere yet?
Yep, she'll be heading off here in August, and my wife and I'll drop her off, and she's ready. She's ready. She does some amazing work with the Best Defense Foundation, with veterans, taking veterans back to battlefields that they fought on in Normandy. We went to the 80th anniversary commemoration events in Pearl Harbor, and I think that really changed the direction of her life, being able to sit down with these veterans aged like 95 to 104 and hear their stories from World War II. So I wouldn't be surprised if she goes down a path that has some connection to our nation's veterans.
Well, she's ready, but her mom and dad ready.
My wife is not ready, but I am confident that our daughter is ready to to spread her wings and head out into the world. So, she's ready.
So that's why people got to go buy the new book, Only the Dead, because you got one in college and two more you're going to have to put through with these books.
That's right. To be sincerely appreciated for a host of reasons.
Hey, you also give a shout-out to your buddy Joe Rogan in this book real quick, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I try to do that, things like that in my novels. If it's authentic to the storyline, whether it's gear, whether it's weapons, Joe Rogan, things like that. So I tend to weave that sort of thing in. I just because it's natural for me to do so.
And how's your podcast going? Are you still doing a new one? Are you doing them like every week, every couple of weeks?
Every week, every Wednesday those drop, Danger Close Podcast, and I love doing that. And actually a lot of what I didn't really understand at the outset was how much overlap there was going to be between that and everything else that I'm doing. Meaning there's so much going on that I have to prioritize things, and oftentimes if there's a book I want to read, I'm going to have to drop it down on the priority list just because I have scripts, I have other books, I have my first nonfiction book that I'm working on that comes out in the fall of 2024 on the 1983 Beirut Barracks bombing, working on that with the historian and Pulitzer Prize finalist James Scott, amazing guy. But the podcast forces me to read the book, come up with questions, do the interview, and in many cases, I've incorporated what I've learned from those books and interviews into the pages of the novel that I'm working on. So it's self-supporting, I guess you would say.
Well, now you know how we feel when we interview you, because we got to read the books, we got to come up with the questions, we got to be entertaining. So.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than one would think from the outside looking in.
Yeah. I was just going to who are some of your upcoming guests that you have booked that you're going to be interviewing?
Oh, my gosh. I got a bunch of veterans coming up, buddies of mine. There's one out right now, Jericho Denman. Incredible story, 15 deployments as an Army Ranger. Amazing guy. Yesterday, I talked to the CEO and founder of Total Archery Challenge, which also gets not just veterans, but all sorts of people out on the mountains and essentially ski resorts walking around. Bows and arrows, shooting 3D targets, absolutely incredible. Peter Zeihan, I think that's the most listened to one, where we talk about Ukraine and China and Russia, and a lot of that, what I learned from him, ends up in the pages of my novels. Known him for a few years, but there's all sorts of different people across an entire spectrum of industries that I have on, and I love it because you put down the phone, you turn off the email on your computer, and you're just having a conversation for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it might be, without electronic interruption, which is fantastic. So I absolutely love doing the podcast.
And do you think, is this series just going to keep going and going until you don't think you can do it justice anymore, or your book company suddenly drops you? Or, I mean, do you have a lot more books in you, is what I guess my question is.
I'm not worried about ever running out of ideas, that's for sure. And our senior level military leaders and our elected representatives in government certainly give me a lot to work with these days when it comes to antagonists. So I don't think I'll ever run out of ideas. But as of now, I don't have a final book number or how I'm going to wrap up the series in my head. I'm just going to keep exploring these different themes, keep evolving the characters, because they're all on a journey. They're not the same characters. Let's say my protagonist, James Reese, is not the same as James Reese of the first novel. He's moving through life, and he is on a journey just like we all are. Yep. Hopefully we're all taking lessons from past successes and failures and applying those lessons going forward as wisdom. So he's evolving and changing just like we all are on this journey. So people can expect to see him continue to evolve in future novels.
The last thing I want to ask you, because I do have to let you go. Are you able to go to the store and just pick up a 6-pack of beer, some bread, some eggs without, being mobbed? I mean, do people know you and where you live, and are they just respectful enough? Like, hey, Jack, what's going on? Or, I mean, can you go out in public and grab a drink?
I'd say it's getting pretty interesting, but I feel extremely fortunate, and I'm really grateful when someone says hi and comes up and wants an autograph or picture or whatever else. I feel so grateful that the books are resonating enough that people are interested in the books and coming up to tell me how much they like them, or that they gave one to their dad, or gave one to their son who's going to Marine Corps boot camp, or whatever it might be. So I feel extremely fortunate. So it's it's interesting, I guess is the best way to put it, but at the same time, I feel extremely fortunate.
Jack, always a pleasure talking to you. Only the Dead, again, is out in stores on May 16th. I can go to your website again for tour dates. Hopefully this writer's strike will be over sooner than later, and we can get back to business and get some more Terminalist and the spinoff series up on Amazon. Good luck with everything, man, and I guess we'll probably talk again in another year.
This sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on. I sincerely appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.